Deutschlandfunk. Corso. Kunst und Pop.
Billy Bragg. Einer der wichtigsten politischen Musiker Großbritanniens. Dass Politik für sein Werk eine zentrale Rolle spielt, das zeigt jetzt auch sein neues Buch. Die drei Dimensionen der Freiheit, so heißt das. Anfang der Woche war ich mit Billy Bragg zum Corso-Gespräch verabredet. Da war er kurz vor einem Auftritt in London.
So, Billy Bragg, your book is a furious pamphlet against neoliberalism. Your observation does not only cover England, but also other countries and nations. What you find is that freedom of the market lowers the freedom of the individual. So where do you feel this the most? Can you give us an example?
Well, I think the example would be that the free market gives you the freedom of choice in terms of consumerism, but doesn't offer you a freedom of choice with regard to the political and, more importantly, economic system that you want to live under. One of the big aspects of neoliberalism has been the idea that there is no alternative, which we in English has an acronym, T-I-N-A, TINA. We refer to it as TINA. And this idea that there is no alternative to running an economy other than neoliberalism has caused a lot of problems, because clearly there are, you know, ways of running politics completely different, but there are also many different ways of running an economy. And it's the refusal of neoliberals to even contemplate any alternative that's, I think, is causing a lot of pressure to build up around the world. Since the economic crash of 2008, there has not been a rethink about how to run national or the globalized economy in a way that benefits the majority of people rather than just a few people at the top of the economic scale, the 1% so-called.
But don't we live in a time where there's a lot of freedom in the Western world? Like, we can say whatever we want to, we can talk to whoever we want to.
That is very true. But freedom is not defined by simply the ability to say whatever you want, whenever you want to say it, to whoever you want to say it to, without any challenge. That's not the definition of freedom. That is the definition of Donald Trump's Twitter feed. If we are to have a genuinely free society, we have not only to have liberty, the right to express our opinion, but we also need to recognize equality, which is the right of other people to express their opinion, and the fact that we should respect their opinion and not immediately attack them. I think that without equality, if you don't have equality in the equation, then liberty, the right to express your opinion, is merely a privilege. Mm-hmm. But more importantly than that, if liberty does not have accountability as well present and given equal respect, then it can turn into the most dangerous type of freedom, and that is impunity. And we've seen in the United States of America with President Trump what happens when you allow someone to take control who has no concept of accountability whatsoever. So, and I think this is a problem. We also have a little bit of this problem in the UK as well at the moment, because Boris Johnson is also someone who has lived his life without ever taking responsibility for his actions, whether that's his political actions, his professional actions, and his time working as a journalist, or within his private life. And I think this is a dangerous change. Democracy and accountability are not synonymous. They can drift apart. And this is what's happening, I feel, in the UK and in the United States of America.
Yeah, you already mentioned your three dimensions of freedom, liberty, equality and accountability. And how do you think do we get to the point of rethinking?
Well, firstly, I think we have to draw a line. In the 20th century, politics was conceptually ideological. Whether that's good or bad, everybody had their ideology. And ideology offered a framework in which to discuss issues. You know, you could, if you had a particular ideology, you could bring that framework to bear on a particular issue and work out how you felt about that issue. Did it fit with your ideological view of the world? Now, that has some downsides. It has some plus sides. But the point I'm making is that there was a framework. Since the end of the Cold War, we live in a post-ideological world now. We no longer have a framework with which to quickly work out where our political sympathies lie. And I'm suggesting that by using the framework of liberty, equality, and accountability, we can once again put a baseline on the discussions that we're having and the way that our society is going.
But who do you put your trust in? Who do you believe in to find a way out of the misery that you describe in your book? Is it a working class who is being ensnared or beguiled by populists? Is it the rather saturated boomer generation? Is it the Fridays for Future kids? Who is it?
It's Alistair Zammon.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of us. We have to find, by using the parameters of liberty, of equality, of accountability, we have to find a way to create a cohesive society that is based on ideas that of reason, of respect, and of responsibility. Because we're trying to create a community here. We're not just trying to create a bunch of people who win and another bunch of people who lose. And this is a huge challenge.
What I found interesting is that not only once do you talk about music in your book, so does music not have the power to make a difference?
Bertolt Brecht said that art is not a mirror to hold up against the world, but a hammer with which to shape it. And I firmly believe that. But anybody who has used a hammer to try and shape something will know that it needs a sturdy anvil in order to be able to shape that thing. And I would argue that the anvil that we use in music, for every artist really, every artist creates their own hammer by deciding what kind of art they're going to use. But the anvil on which we try to shape society is accountability. I can't make change just by merely writing a song, because music has no agency, but it does have the ability to call out those in power where we see injustice, where we see hypocrisy. And the call out that we make is for greater accountability. So accountability to me is at the absolute heart of what I do, and has always been at the heart of what I do. And writing the book is just a way of upping my game, if you like, because I think the situation has got, as a communicator,
yeah,
as an artist, I've written songs about accountability. I've spoken about accountability from the stage. I've campaigned in my country for constitutional reform that would give people much greater agency. But the challenge of Brexit, of Trump, of the rise of populism in Europe, I need to raise my game. Because if I don't, the impulse to hide under the duvet and hope it goes away will overwhelm me. You know, these are very cynical times that we live in. We all have to fight against our cynicism. And in my experience, the best antidote to cynicism is activism.
Mm-hmm. So last question, Willy Breck. On the 31st of January, Britain will leave the European Union, and that's the plan at least. So you were always a great supporter of the EU. However, after years of leaving or not leaving, will you eventually celebrate or mourn Brexit?
Oh, I think I'll mourn Brexit, because it seems to me to be sending my country in the opposite way to that which is needed in order to deal with the great problems that we face as a world. The big problems are bigger than one nation alone can deal with. The most obvious thing is the climate emergency. The only way to deal with that is to work closer with other nations. They also, leaving the European Union takes us into a situation where we are much more in danger of being economically exploited outside of a large economic bloc like the EU, not to be able to work in concert with other nations. And also, I think the future of Europe is also facing difficult times ahead. And I would wish that we were working with people in Europe to create that society in which we work together to ensure that people are more important than profits. Now, whether the European Union doesn't do that at the moment, but it could potentially. And that's always been why I've been in favor of the European Union.
Thank you so much, Billy Bragg.
Thank you, Christoph.